afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be listening from. Brad Friedman in for Angie Coiro tonight on Live from the Left Coast on Green 960 in San Francisco. We are also joined tonight, I do believe, by our friends down in Monterey on KRX 540 AM. Glad to have you all with us. I'll be sitting in for Angie as she takes the day off. Or she, well, we don't want to say she takes the day off. That sounds like she's lazy. Let's say Angie Coiro is on assignment today. She'll be back with us on Monday. And I hope she's enjoying whatever that assignment may be. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You may know me from there. Occasionally I sit in for Mike Malloy and other folks broadcasting down here from Los Angeles up to you guys up there. And I couldn't be more delighted about it. I'm going to, well, I'll give you an idea of what we're going to cover here tonight in a second. But I want you to know that these are your public airwaves, and it's important to me that your voice gets heard. So feel free to give us a call tonight all throughout the show. I'll try to get in as many calls as I can at 866-960-5753. That's 866-960-5753. You can also join us on the live blog, the Live from the Left Coast live blog, which is at LFTLC.com/live. Stop on over there, say hello, and, well, I'll try to keep an eye on you. If I can, we'll see how that goes. We're going to cover tonight the media, media reform, which I will argue is perhaps the most important issue facing our country, certainly the most important issue facing our country that very few people are talking about, certainly not Democrats talking about it to any large extent. I think that's a real problem, and we're going to talk about that in particular, the ownership of the media, corporate ownership of the media, what that means to you, what that means to voices, what that means to the folks on the right, on the left, on the middle, the independents like myself, and the fight for our public airwaves. We're going to talk about that in the second hour with Sue Wilson, Emmy Award-winning filmmaker of Broadcast Blues, a terrific documentary on that very subject. But the whole evening is going to be about the media. We're going to sort of go from the micro here to the macro. We're going to start with the micro with this assault. I've heard it referred to as the White House's war on Fox News. No, it ain't the White House's war on Fox News. It's Fox News's war on the White House. And this has been going on and on and on for months and, frankly, years. Before Obama was in the White House, it was the war on Democrats by Fox News. Now, it's rather annoying talking about Fox News on the radio because I can't put the word news in quotes the way I would if I was writing on the blog. These guys are not news. Everybody knows that, I suspect. Everybody listening to my voice knows that. And yet, we've got Democrats running around acting like, well, they are news. And, Barack Obama shouldn't have called them out. He didn't declare war on Fox News. He told the truth about them. They are a propaganda outlet. They are not news. And I, for one, applaud him, or at least the White House, calling them out for what they are. Finally, if you've got an opinion on that, and I think it's a great idea that they've done this, I'll tell you why in a second, but if you've got an opinion on that, even if you don't agree with me, yes, these are your public airwaves. I'm particularly happy to hear from you if you don't agree with me. Give us a call at 866-960-5753. As I said, we're going to go from the micro to the macro. So we're going to start here with this rather narrow topic, this fight between the White House and Fox News. We're going to move on at the bottom of the hour to Frank Schaefer. He is a former right-wing fundamentalist. You may have seen him on Rachel Maddow. He's a repentant former right-wing fundamentalist leader, and he's quite concerned, as am I, about what is going out over the airwaves, what we are hearing from Fox News and from the other folks on the right, this incitement to violence. And he has stepped up. He's the author of the book Crazy for God. I love this title. How I Grew Up as One of the Elect, Helped Found the Religious Right, and Lived to Take All or Almost All of It Back. He's taken quite a bit of it back, and he guest blogged yesterday for us at bradblog.com in an open letter to Rupert Murdoch asking Rupert, hey, Rupert, are you sure you want to have your legacy be what it could be if your people get any more worked up and somebody, God forbid, takes a shot at the president? Going to ask him about that letter and about his endorsement of the StopDomesticTerror.com campaign. Finally, folks are speaking up and saying enough with the hate speech, the incitement of violence. We're going to talk to him about that at the bottom of the hour. As I say, though, I want to talk about this this tete-a-tete between the White House and Fox News. Of course, it's a mountain out of a molehill, but that's what Fox News does for a living, so we would expect no less from them. For years, I've been hearing from folks on the left, from progressives. I remember some time ago, a few years back, I was invited to debate Ann Coulter on the radio. It was, who was it, Ron Insana, the CNBC guy or whatever. He had a radio show at the time. Don't know if he still does or not. Maybe I put him out of business. I don't know. But Ann Coulter she was going to be debating somebody about something. I don't know. Something about Republican ethics or some such. And whoever she was going to debate with couldn't do it. So they called me up and they said, hey, Brad, can you come on and debate Ann Coulter in the morning? And I said, I would love to. Now, of course, this was before we knew that, in fact, she was a vote fraud felon. But I don't have time for that. But I was invited and I was happy to do it. And I had a lot of folks on the blog saying, hey, Brad, what are you doing? Why are you talking to Ann Coulter? She needs to be ignored. Don't you get it? You have to ignore these right wingers. I say no. You don't ignore the right-wingers. You take them on. You call them out. That is exactly what Barack Obama has done. I applaud him for it, and I'd love your thoughts on it. I'll give you more of mine after this break. You're listening to Live from the Left Coast with Angie Coiro, except I'm Brad Friedman. Call us at 866-960-5753. Back right after this. Night long here on Live from the Left Coast with Angie Coiro. I am Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Angie tonight. Delighted to broadcast on Green 960 up in the Bay Area as well as KRXA 540 AM down in Monterey. Joining us, taking over that Left Coast, as it were. We'd love to hear from you on your public airwaves at 866-960-5753 tonight. We're talking about media all night long, the media cartel, as someone described it in the live blog chat room, which you can get to at lftlc.com/live. Talking about this phony war, this phony kerfuffle that between the White House and Fox News, which is not phony at all, at least not from Fox News' side of it. On the other side of it, you got the White House, who is not declaring war. They're just calling them out for what they are, pointing out exactly what they are, which is a propaganda outlet. They are, like I said, I can't put quotes around the word news when I call them Fox News here on the radio. Air quotes, you'll just have to trust me. Perhaps if I called them the Republican News Channel, that might make more sense. That might be more accurate, more fair and balanced. And for short, instead of calling them Republican News Channel, we can just call them RNC. Yeah, that works. So this so-called war, apparently, Larissa Alexandrovna, our friend over at largely.com, wrote about this phony, ridiculous, absurd war. And she pointed out at one point when Greta Van Susteren came on with breaking news about this so-called war on the White House. And, of course, what was this war? What was this breaking news? What was this White House enemies list? That's what she said. Is Fox part of a larger White House enemies list? No, Greta. It's not. You guys are the only enemies, and rightly so. So what was it that Obama said? I don't have the audio here, but I'll read it to you. It's a short quote. He said, I think that what our advisors have simply said is that we are going to take media as it comes. And if media is operating basically as a talk radio format, then that's one thing. If it's operating as a news outlet, then that's another. But it's not something I'm losing a lot of sleep over. Hell of a war. Kind of the way George Bush ran his wars. But never mind. I digress. What's your thought? I think it's great. I think it's tremendous. I think it is, I don't know how many years, 8 to 10 years overdue that they call these guys out and put them on the defensive for a change. My God, if I have to, you know, read one more blog item, watch one more, you know, news, cable news channel where you've got progressives on the defensive defending something insane that doesn't exist, death panels, idiocy of that kind, you know, let Fox News go. And if you watch them, and this week I've been able to watch a whole lot of Glenn Beck because The Daily Show isn't on this week, so I've been able to enjoy Crazy Boy Glenn Beck, and they're spending all their time worried about this. Good. Then the Democrats can do something that actually matters. But if you don't take these guys on, if you don't take on their lies, well, you get stuff like this. Here's what Rush Limbaugh had to say. This was back on the 30th of September. Just to give you an idea, he was talking about health care. He was saying that next week it's all over. Next week it's going to be Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. They're going to take over the medical system in this country. Here's a quick clip.
In this country, the enemy of anybody who cares about educating them.
No.
In one move.
There we go.
And they're targeting next week to get this done. In one move. The U.S. Congress will take over hospitals, will take over laboratories, will take over the medical profession, will take over the insurance companies.
I wish, but that ain't what's happening. So you've got these wingnuts out there lying. How long will it take before Democrats step up and call them on it? And, you know, and we can't count on Alan Grayson to do everything. Alan Grayson, my new hero. Oh, marry me, Alan Grayson, the new Republican congressman from Florida down there who's not putting up with crap. Thank God. What did I say? I said Republican? Oh, Democratic congressman down there in Florida who is calling them like he sees them. He says the Republican health care plan is to go out and die. He's absolutely right. Thank you, Mr. Grayson. Any other Democrats want to speak up? We got a couple on the line, so let's go to them. Craig in El Cerrito, welcome to Live from the Left Coast. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I hate to think of them as Democratic or Republican. I like to think of them more as conservative or corporate. But, you know, the media has become little more than a lobbying platform.
Yep.
You know, and that's where all the money is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they.
And there's, by the way, there's nothing conservative about that, Craig.
Well, that's true.
Nothing. But, these guys who call themselves conservatives, they're not. They're corporatists. And yeah, it's about money. They don't give a damn about freedom of the press. Otherwise, they wouldn't stand for, you know, one or two or five corporations owning our public airwaves and shutting out almost all voices that they oppose. But yeah, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Yeah.
Craig.
No, you're right on. It's you know, there seems to be a common thread with a lot of the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you remember him talking about the privatization of the, you know, Medicare or no, Social Security.
Right.
And, you know, there's people out there that want to privatize everything.
Well, there is, and if we don't speak up, and Craig, I got to get to another call because I got a hard break at the bottom of the hour. But and thanks for that call. If you don't push back, if you don't tell the truth, if you let them, if you say, oh, ignore them, they'll go away. They ain't going away. Santa Rosa, let's go to Press in Santa Rosa online too. Welcome to Live from the Left Coast.
Hi, Brad. I know you have a moment, so I'm going to be fast. Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I think the one thing we need to do is there is a definition of news. I believe in the FCC bylaws or rules and regulations. We need to hold them to it. They need to act in the public interest. And I also want to mention that there is a reason the election started a year and a half. this last election cycle because it's big money for those guys.
Yep.
They pay for money for ads, and then the television networks cover them, and then they have to pay them back for the ads. They get the comment. It's a big circle in television that works for making all the money.
It's a big
going
circle.
Through the Congress.
It works
the money
great
laundering
for corporations.
Right through the Congress.
Works great for the corporations, not so well for the people and the
like
Democrats. We're going to talk a lot about this in our second hour, particularly. The Democrats have backed off this fight. We need media reform. We will get into the specifics of that, of the FCC, of the fact that they're supposed to be monitoring the public interest use of our airwaves, but they're not. Thanks, Press. I appreciate the call. Ron in San Francisco, real quick, what's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Brad. I really appreciate you being on the air. You're one of my favorite talk show hosts with Peter B. Collins and Jeff Ferris, but I think you've got to take the cake here. The media reform thing is important, but campaign finance reform is the real issue, I think, because they just recirculate that campaign money through the media corporations and get it back to this interlocking corporate directorship that just keeps going on and on and on.
Well, you know what, Ron? You're absolutely right. Now, here's the problem. When you start having this call for campaign finance reform, where is this discussion, this debate going to be waged? Over the media. And how do you suspect Fox News and then, of course, everyone else is going to frame that fight? Michael Copps, in Sue Wilson's movie Broadcast Blues, he was the acting FCC chair for Barack Obama early on. And he said, hey, I know you got a lot of issues you worry about, you care about, but if health care is your first issue, make media reform your second. Because if you don't get that one nailed, you ain't going to get your health care. And I think that's absolutely the case. Thanks for your thoughts there, Ron. I got to get to a break here. We're going to come back with Frank Schaefer. If you're on the line, hang on. Otherwise, get in while you can, because I'm going to try to get to as many calls all night here as I can, because these are the people's airwaves. Use them or lose them. Brad Friedman in for Angie Coiro on Green 960 and KRXA 540 AM. We'll be back right after this. Well, I wouldn't call me Angie Coiro. I would call me Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Thanks, Steph. Sitting in for Angie tonight, who's, as we like to say, on assignment. You're listening to Live from the Left Coast on Green 960 in San Francisco. Also joined by our friends down in Monterey on KRXA 540 AM. Great to have you folks with us here tonight. And if you'd like to get through, get in line now. As I said, 866-960-5753. We're talking about the media. We're talking about their failings. We're talking about what the hell the government is going to do about it, and should the government do anything about it at all? I would argue yes. I would argue we need some reforms. I would argue we need to take a look at the fairness doctrine, which served us very well going all the way back to 1948, right up until the time Ronald Reagan decided to dissolve it and let guys like Rush Limbaugh and friends pollute the air. And then it got a whole hell of a lot worse in 1996 when Bill Clinton decided to let corporations buy up as many stations as they want and shut out the voice of the people. You guys in San Francisco don't know how lucky you are to have a progressive station, to have a great progressive station, to have a great program director like John Scott who gives a damn about his progressive station. It's very rare. So enjoy it, use it, take advantage of it, and support it, and support Angie Coiro at LFTLC.com, where they have a nice PayPal button I recommend you use. All right. Speaking of being worried about what's going on in the media, another new hero of mine joins us right now, Frank Schaefer. Is a former right-wing fundamentalist leader, and now he's the New York Times best-selling author of Crazy for God. I'm going to read the whole title, Frank. Crazy for God, How I Grew Up as One of the Elect, Helped Found the Religious Right, and Lived to Take All or Almost All of It Back. You, sir, receive a BradBlog.com conservative, what do we call them? Intellectually Honest Conservative Award. Thanks and for joining us here tonight. Welcome to Live from the Left Coast, Frank.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and also for all the stuff you do on your blog. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And Frank, I should say, guest blogged for at the Brad blog today. Yesterday, actually, it was. And I'm going to point folks over there to his letter to Rupert Murdoch. We'll read a little bit of that in a second. But I also want to note that Frank has endorsed and been a leader in VelvetRevolution.us's StopDomesticTerror.com. He's one of the first the StopDomesticTerror.com campaign. Frank came on early on and said, yes, I want to support this campaign. And I should note, by way of full disclosure here, VelvetRevolution.us is co-founded by me, by Brad Blog. And StopDomesticTerror.com is one of our new campaigns saying, look, enough is enough. We need the Department of Justice to get busy, to get back in the game, and take a look at what is going on across our airwaves and the dangers that we face. And, Frank, thank you for coming right out early on and endorsing that. We're going to talk about that in a second. But give me, just for folks who may not know you and the journey you have taken, give us an idea of where you came from and what it is that brought you to this really new place in your life, Frank.
Sure. Well, I'll give you a quick thumbnail sketch working back. I'm 57 years old. I'm white. I'm American. I grew up in Europe as the son of fundamentalist missionaries, one of whom was named Francis Schaeffer, the other Edith Schaeffer, both of whom in the late 60s and early 70s became household words in the evangelical subculture. That doesn't mean anyone else heard of them, but they were well known there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the early 70s went on and became part of the beginnings of the religious right, to the point where you really see people like Max Blumenthal and others who have written on this subject, crediting my dad, unfortunately, with being one of the fathers of the religious right. And I was a young man at that time in my early 20s. And like so many young people raised in evangelical households where parent is a pastor or missionary, got into this sort of nepotistic sidekick business for a while, you know, much as Billy Graham's son has done, Pat Robertson's son, Schuller, and all these people, get their families involved in their ministries. And so for a bit there, I tagged around with my dad, did some writing, and we were in on the beginning of both the anti-abortion movement, but also the melding of the Republican Party and the far right of the evangelical fundamentalist movement. And so we were palling around with Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, James Dobson, Chuck Colson, you name it. And mm-hmm. also at that time, you know, my father would regularly be a guest of Ronald Reagan in the White House. Jerry Ford's son was studying with my dad in Switzerland at his retreat center called LaBrie Fellowship. We were friends with the Bush family. In fact, I have a folder of handwritten notes from the last three or four Republican presidents, either to my dad or to me, regular guests with Jack Kemp and Joanne Kemp in Washington, who started a Schaeffer Bible study where we were talking to people like the Doles and others. And so we were one of these families that I describe in the beginning of Crazy for God as kind of evangelical royalty.
Mm-hmm.
The subtext to that is that we kind of also became a bit of a metaphor for what happened to the whole movement, and that is a very sincere Christian family, albeit fundamentalist, with views I wouldn't agree with now in terms of the theology, but nevertheless, good motives, not greedy, trying to help people, open home policy there in LaBrie Fellowship back in the day in the 60s and in the 50s before that. Moved from there to people who, you know, really, I think, fell in love with the access to power and became more about politics than the gospel, that's for sure. And in terms of my own journey, when my dad passed away in 1984, I looked around and realized I had a lot of my life left to live, I hoped. And my interest had always been in writing and the arts and film and this sort of thing. And I had really been sidetracked by getting involved first with his ministry, but then so deeply in the fundamentalist politics. And suddenly
and in those
woke up one morning and realized I was in bed with the wrong people, and that the far right that we were working with really hated the United States as it was and wanted to essentially turn it into a kind of a theocracy. And at that point, I got out. Drifted away from both the theology and the politics.
Frank, let me interrupt you for a second, Frank. Frank, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
Along the way, before you had this this realization,
right.
You guys in this right wing movement had really sort of developed what the politics of what would we call it? Where you used abortion? Where you brought these religious fundamentalist ideas into the political world? It was really you, your father, and so forth who developed this sort of
tactics. And in fact, when I was listening to all these deathers and birthers and anti-Obama people and this shrill, crazy rhetoric all summer long being leveled against health care reform, the rhetoric that people like Dick Armey, who, by the way, I knew very well back in the day, were resurrecting in terms of death panels and all these lies Sarah Palin was telling and all this stuff, essentially was just borrowing a page from what we created with books like Whatever Happened to the Human Race and my dad's book, A Christian Manifesto, something I wrote called A Time for Anger that Dr. Dobson gave away many thousands of copies of back in the early 80s, and,
mm-hmm.
and essentially the argument against the healthcare reform that's been used in terms of this panic button of elderly people who will be done away with, euthanasia, children being singled out for no treatment, all of this was borrowed from the kind of shrill wedge issues we introduced under the rubric of the pro-life movement. And so in a sense, you know, I had this sickening deja vu realizing that what I like least now about American politics, unfortunately, I personally had something to do with, quite a bit to do with, fomenting in its earlier stages.
I want to hear about that change. I got to get to a hard break here, but let me. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with Frank Schaefer, author of Crazy for God, How I Grew Up as One of the Elect, Helped Found the Religious Right, and Lived to Take All or Almost All of It Back, and about his concern, his seeing the light, if you will, in the 80s that things had gone terribly wrong, and now his concerns about where we are and the dangers that may lie ahead, as he blogged about yesterday at bradblog.com in his open letter to Rupert Murdoch, which I will strongly recommend. We'll read you a little bit of that when we get back, along with more of your calls, 866-960-5753. Brad Friedman in for Angie Coiro. And I'll try to keep my eye on the blog, too. Stick around. Much more straight ahead.
Me and my wife walked all over town. Everywhere we go, folks would turn us down. It's a bourgeois town.
Well done, Randy. Good tune.
Bourgeois town.
I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in for Angie Coiro. Oh, it went away so quickly. In for Angie Coiro tonight on both Green 960 and KRXA 540 AM. Glad you can join us. We're speaking with Frank Schaefer, former right-wing fundamentalist leader, best-selling author, and endorser of StopDomesticTerror.com, calling on the DOJ to investigate the incitement of violence by right-wing extremists on our public airwaves and on the Internet. And, of course, Frank Schaefer should know he was – well, I was going to say you were one of those right-wing extremists, but is it fair to call you an extremist, Frank?
Well, it is, yeah, unfortunately. And back in the day, you know, it was more focused on the pro-life movement, and it was kind of more narrowly focused. But there's no question that the kind of rhetoric that my father and I were not only spouting, but coming up with in books like his A Christian Manifesto, where mm-hmm. he compared the United States to Nazi Germany and the abortion issue to the Holocaust and called for people to, if necessary, overthrow the government if we couldn't resolve this through other means, you know. And by the way, I add parenthetically, was being invited to the White House at the same time. Imagine, I don't think that's what happened to Reverend Wright when he said the same sort of things.
Yeah.
You know, being that he was black and progressive, sort of a different standard for white right-wingers. But anyway, having said that, yeah, we were very much part of it. And as we were saying before the break, you know, the script that people like Dick Armey have resurrected to try to fight health care
mm-hmm.
with all these lies about death panels and so forth is one we basically wrote back in the 70s in projects like Whatever Happened to the Human Race that we made with Dr. C. Everett Koop, who then became Ronald Reagan's Surgeon General. So been there, done that, and have a great deal of regret about that, which I've talked about in my books, but also I guess have a pretty good nose for the coded messages and the rhetoric that's embedded in the kind of things that Glenn Beck and Limbaugh and Fox are spouting, and the way this will be received by their foot soldiers, which I think a lot of people don't fully understand because they live in a saner universe than a lot of these folks who are listening to these things live in, and therefore probably don't understand how these things can be taken and what it will incite people to do.
Well, exactly. You blogged about this. People can check out this letter to Rupert Murdoch at bradblog.com. You said Fox News seems to be trawling for assassins, and you composed a letter that you applauded the White House for calling out Fox News, except you said they didn't go far enough. And I concur with you.
Yeah, the fiction has been, look, we'll all be nice and pretend it's a news organization. Well, at least the White House is no longer doing that. But Fox News is something entirely different. It's not a question of combining news and commentary. It's a question of really resurrecting the kind of hate radio and hate television. Well, it's hate television now, but hate radio in the day of, for instance, Father Kuglin back in the 30s, who was a Nazi sympathizer, went after Roosevelt, called him a communist, and essentially was also trawling for assassins. And had Roosevelt been assassinated, it probably would have been by one of Father Kuglin's listeners. And now, though, the difference is our Father Kuglins of today, people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, have media moguls behind them, particularly in the case of Rupert Murdoch, who ironically, by the way, one of his companies, Zondervan, that used to be an evangelical company, is bringing out Sarah Palin's memoir in a couple of weeks that they're crashing out. And he also published Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. And so you have this weird combination of right-wing politics, evangelical Christianity, very big business and money. And, you know, okay, that's all par for the course, and it might be venal and corrupt and disgusting. But when you then turn the amplifier up and you begin to back people like Glenn Beck, who left to themselves would simply be on a street corner somewhere barking at the moon, and you pay him a good salary and sell ad space on his program and get him a following of what has to be the kind of Rube Edelman in the United States, you know, the literal village idiots, and you let them loose with him saying that our president is a racist, that he's a socialist, that he could be a communist, that maybe not even an American, an illegitimate presidency, that gays are going to be taking over the country. What you're basically doing is pulling the chain of a bunch of folks who have a lot of weapons, a lot of ammunition, a lot of hate, not terribly much brain power, not terribly intellectually clued in, they live in a non-reality-based universe, and you're sending them a message saying, look, this country would be better off without this president. And as I put in my blog, you know, if he was literally just coming out and saying, let's kill the uppity N-word who's occupying the White House, it couldn't be a clearer message. And it's just a matter of time until one of these people either pulls another Oklahoma-style bombing or kills one of our elected officials.
Well,
and you mark my words, when that attempt is made, you're going to be finding that they were weaned on the kind of things Fox News is spouting every day of the week.
You have pointed out, yeah, that a lot of these people you're talking about, these folks have a lot of guns, and you know of whereof you speak. You start this letter to Rupert Murdoch, this open letter. Dear Rupert Murdoch, since you are responsible for what is on Fox News, I have a question for you. Do you ever wonder how you'll be remembered by Americans and the world, not to mention your children, if someone takes a shot at President Obama? And when asked why they did it, quotes the misinformation spouted by Fox News as their reason. Well, in truth, nobody's taken a shot yet, thank God, at Barack Obama. But we have seen these folks come out in Pittsburgh, I think it was, in Tennessee, who have come out and said, yes, I was inspired by Bernie Goldberg's book. I wanted to kill all the liberals in the Unitarian Church or wherever it was.
Or shoot three police officers in Pittsburgh because he said that since Obama had been elected, he was convinced they would be coming to take away his guns. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense Glenn Beck has been spouting. And when Dr. Tiller was killed, you know, Fox News had called him Tiller the Baby Killer some 30 or 40 times on a variety of programs. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to connect the dots here. And essentially, they may be doing it for ratings, but what they're really doing is playing Russian roulette with our country's history.
And do you think these guys understand this? Do you think that...
Well, you know, look at the news item that was in the Boston Globe the other day that I'm surprised wasn't all over the place, that I quote briefly in my blog. I mean, why wasn't this front page everywhere, that the Secret Service has seen such a rise in death threats against this president that their current budget and the size of the agency may not be big enough to cope? With even investigating the ones that are coming out openly and threatening him. And so, you know, you look at that, you look at people carrying signs at meetings at which the president has been appearing that, you know, the Tree of Liberty has to be watered with the blood of tyrants, and they happen to be carrying a loaded weapon. You know, this isn't – I'm not sort of out here having some paranoid fantasy. You know, when you have American citizens showing up at public meetings – carrying weapons to make a point, carrying the same sign around their on their mm-hmm. on their back or on their T-shirt or on a placard that was on Timothy McVeigh's T-shirt the day he did the Oklahoma bombing. You know, this is so obvious, and it's in such large font type letters, you know, on our billboard, as it were, that it has to be missed deliberately. And of course, the main
because I'm gonna coming up at the top of the hour, I want to get in a couple of quick calls here if I can. By the way, Lars and in the live blog asks, how do we get you on Fox? You been on Fox News lately, Frank?
You know, I don't think I'm the top of the guest list there. I got this feeling.
Let's get you back on there, my friend. Let me get to David, because he, I think, disagrees with you. Very quickly, David, welcome to Live from the Left Coast. Question for Frank Schaefer.
Yeah, hey, Brad and Frank. No, absolutely, I don't disagree with him. I actually wanted to test some historical knowledge, if I could.
There are a couple of different
books about the rise of the Nazis and how they used religion. And they essentially divided the religions by using that same kind of master race rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And there's a specific book about the Catholics were about 30% of the electorate in Germany during the 1933 election, and they were specifically told by the Pope and by the local bishops to not vote in that election. And so the whole rise of Hitler was directly based upon the 30% of the population not voting by ordination, so to speak. And I'm just wondering if Frank is aware of various of the techniques in which the sort of master race plays one version of Protestants against each other.
Thanks for the call, David. Let me get
response
from
the whole master race thing. I wouldn't put it quite that way, but just to bring it up to the present time, you know, when you looked at the campaign by the Republicans against Justice Sotomayor, it was all race based. They were saying, well, she said that as a Hispanic woman, she has all this common sense. It was suddenly old white guys versus Hispanic women. You know, Glenn Beck's talking about the president hating white people. Rush Limbaugh, of course, is berserk with this issue, saying that now in the world of Obama, white kids will be beaten up on school buses. Look, the gloves have come off. The old white guys who got used to running this country resent anybody else who comes along who has some legitimacy, and so they delegitimize them. And some of it's racist, some of it's just simply you know, white middle class values being challenged. Some of it is anti-gay prejudice.
And the brilliance
of it. The result is that we have a president and a system that is endangered by a very extremist fringe.
And the brilliance of it is they do all of these tactics, all of these things you're talking about, and then they say it's Barack Obama who's the Nazi and who's coming to get you. It's an unbelievable scam what they're trying to pull off over our public airwaves, I should add. Boy, I wish we had a lot more time with you. You are going to be back, Frank Schaefer, when Angie Coiro is here, I believe, for a whole hour on November 4th to talk about your upcoming book, Patience with God. But let me see if I can get in a quick call. Barbara has been holding for a while. We've got, boy, not much time at all. Barbara, welcome to Live from the Left Coast.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for taking my call. Hi,
you
Frank.
Bet.
I heard Mike Malloy read your letter to Rupert Murdoch, and I was just so it just hit me so much, because I studied broadcasting at San Francisco State, and in the mid-90s I had a professor who used to call Rupert Murdoch Satan, and I didn't know why. I don't think anybody really knew why. And you know, just more and more time as time went by, I started looking closer, and I realized, well, you know, now I know why my professor said that. But your letter was just so right on. And what can we do as citizens? I mean, the news seems to be slanted so far to the right now.
Thanks, Barbara.
Well,
I got to run to get an answer.
What we can do is expose these people and talk about it. Look, Rupert Murdoch became a U.S. citizen a few years ago for the express purpose of circumventing the law that said foreign nationals were not allowed to buy American TV stations at that time. He has absolutely no interest in this country besides using it as a gold mine to profit from, and he's profiting from our village idiots. He's basically designing entertainment and designing quote-unquote news programming that appeals to the lowest of the lowest common denominator. And he's doing it in a way that is going to incite violence. There's no question of that. And the people he's hired are either sincerely out of their minds or simply unqualified or just shills. But any way you slice this, we have a first black American president in this country. We have a history of assassinations in this country. And I think Rupert Murdoch is playing Russian roulette with American history. He should be called out. He should be questioned. He should be asked these things in the open media. And if the White House fights back, so be it. We should be supporting the White House, standing up to him, and we should be asking the real questions that maybe the White House can't get out there and ask. But at a certain point, we have to defend our leaders against this media baron who's not playing by the rules.
Bless you, sir. I couldn't have said it better myself. Frank Schaefer, author, best-selling author of Crazy for God, How I Grew Up as One of the Elect, Helped Found the Religious Right, Live to Take It All or Almost All of It Back. Also of StopDomesticTerror.com. That's one way that you guys, you listeners, can get in the game and make your voice heard. We have to keep doing that. Frank, thank you for all you're doing. I suspect we're going to be talking more in the near future. All right, you're listening to Live from the Left Coast. Brad in for Angie. Sue Wilson, straight ahead.